Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, classic.
Oh, Paddy with the good ear there.
Yeah.
John, how's our levels on these mics, Doug?
Hey, test 1, 2. Hey, hello, Johnny.
Should sound even and a little bit rolled off on the highs, but also quite lovely
nice
at the same
smooth,
time.
Quite natural sounding.
John, are you hearing us?
Both
just
sound
fine?
Really good. I'm just working the levels over on the side
of
the desk.
You work that magic.
Welcome, Paddy from Roundhead.
Hello, thanks for having me once again. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely, and you've brought a couple of lovely ribbon microphones down with you. Now, can you give us a quick overlook on what the ribbon microphone is, and maybe a little lineage off just off the dome?
Yeah, the ribbon mic is a classic, it's a staple. I think I should have done my research a little bit better, but I think it was maybe around the 40s or the 50s that were kind of first brought in. Yeah, they're old. Ribbon mic, it's a really, really thin ribbon membrane that vibrates, and that's where it's getting the sound from. They're kind of microns thin, so you know, any big gust of air is going to blow that thing to pieces.
Particle accelerator.
That's why we've got these nice pop filters right here in front of it.
We do. John's just got the normal studio microphone.
Yeah. But we gave it away. I thought we're going to do a little guess off of who's using which microphone.
We can guess our ones.
Okay. All right.
We actually sound pretty similar. We've got, like you said, we've got like a BBC original, and we've got and sort of a newer option.
Yeah, this is a modern one from the good folk at Oceania Audio Sales in Rosebank Road. It's a little Avantone CR12, which is it's basically the entry to the market of ribbon mics. I think you can pick them up for like $400 or something.
And
that's
great.
They sound amazing. It's actually got two ribbons in it to emulate a long ribbon, because you'll see those like Elvis mics, they're really massive.
Right.
So it's got two small ribbons stacked on top of each other.
Yeah. Are these ribbon mics back in the day when they used to do like a stage show or something, and you just used to see like one microphone kind of on stage and everyone play around? Were they ribbon mics, would you say?
Yeah, totally. There's that classic story of Elvis, and he's got like the RCA ribbon mic in front of him, and it was right when they started getting the idea to multi-mic things. So
right.
Before that, they just had one mic in the room and sort of things, and the engineer brings out this other ribbon mic, and Elvis is going, "What the hell's that for?"
They sound so smooth and so round, so full. Yeah.
What are the? You're kind of answering the question there. What are the certain characteristics or charms or?
Yeah,
defining feature these.
They're features. Round and smooth, I guess.
Large frequency response.
Yeah, totally.
Because of the size of the, I don't want to say capsule, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, natural is the thing as well. They, I guess, with condenser microphones and dynamic microphones, you get a lot of hyped kind of trebliness, which is
great. Yeah, like John's a little bit more crispy, John.
Yeah.
You can
mic check.
You can hear the crisp in John and just a flat kind of just fullness of me.
Yeah, and that makes the dynamics amazing for your vocals, and on stage they really cut through the PA. But for your studio stuff, it's the classic sort of smooth natural sound. It sounds like a human ear, I guess, is the kind of the goal.
Should we listen to Otis Redding now that we've just said smooth classic a couple of times?
Yeah, smooth classic. So I mean, those Motown
is
littered with ribbon mics, you know. And yeah, you'll hear it. And also the old distortion, that's them ribbon mics blowing out when they're singing hard into them.
Far out.
Yeah.
John, are you there, mate?
Yes, I was just singing for you. I thought we might have this in the system.
Oh,
we do too!
Really?
Ooh, we do too.
Proud of you, BFM.
It's a classic.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change. Everything still remains the same. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Yes, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on a dock of a bay, wasting
time. Short tracks, those
are
my ones, aren't they?
Otis Redding, yeah. Laying it down on a beaut old ribbon mic. No doubt.
No doubt.
John, have you got something to say?
How do I sound on a ribbon mic?
Man, it sounds lovely. I was thinking this could be what you need, actually. You just need all you have to do is buy how much are we talking here? $3,000 or something?
Yeah, like two and a half.
There you go, ribbon. John. $2,500.
$2,500 and I'm set.
Come in tomorrow with that microphone.
pop that in the budget, you'll be away.
BYO microphone to BFM.
Or you could come over to our mates at Oceania and pick up this little bad boy for $400, which also doesn't sound too bad, I reckon.
It's pretty good.
I mean, maybe the discerning audiophile could probably tell the difference, but
you're kind of proximitying a little bit. You've got a bit of bass in your voice coming close. You're doing the Rod Stewart vibe here.
Saying that Steve Albini loves these microphones.
Yeah, he's the purest sound guy. He's like he wants everything to sound like, he doesn't use reverb, doesn't use effects and things, and he was like, if there was a desert island mic, then this Coles 4038 would be that'd be the one.
This is like classic Nirvana microphone.
Yeah,
it's meant how they nailed it, and everyone loves it so much that they just still make them. It's like a V-dub.
Yeah,
they're still making them somewhere.
Yeah, and we've got a pair of these, and we got them serviced maybe 2 years ago, and we just sent them over to the UK, and they just did all the bits to them and everything, and it wasn't like they had to search for new old stock parts and all this stuff. It was just there, service and send it back.
Shit. Talk, John. I've got this. Normal studio mic. I don't.
Yeah, you're off frame of reference.
Is everybody hearing the difference? How's this sounding on your ears? Are you enjoying brand new John through this old Ruben mic?
What's the process of sending a microphone like this all the way to the UK? Do you chuck it in like a locked box?
Yeah, locked box. As you can see, the little locked box.
Yeah, they won't like a little vibration, eh? You got to be careful about that.
I don't often do it. The guy that does we've got a dude who services our mics, and he lives in the far north, in Kaio. And believe it or not, he's like New Zealand's best tech, and he lives in Kaio.
Okay. I guess if you're the best, you can go wherever the fuck you like.
Yeah, but exactly. Even sending mics to him is scary when you're sending something with a couple of grand. It's like most of the time we wait till he's around, but it's like shit loads of bubble wrap and like fragile stickers.
Caller, are you calling on a nice microphone, or is it a little bit more of a sort of a carbon situation?
Were you talking about smoking?
Yeah, always talking about smoking. Don't smoke around these microphones, mate. That is not a good idea, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm going through transgender surgery at the moment.
Okay, well, how's that going?
Really well, and I'm on high-dose hormones.
Yeah?
So I've grown a nice pair of breasts.
Okay, great, man. And, just email us, take a picture of that. That'd be fantastic. And, thank you very much, mate. Yeah, sorry, I talked over him at the end there. That was a bit rude, wasn't it? But I wanted to hear John talking to this lovely ribbon microphone a little bit more. Brought to us down by Paddy from around his studios. How many ribbons do you have?
Maybe like 8, I think.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, there's like,
oh, shit.
Yeah, there's like 2 of these. We got 2 of these little Royal ones, which are a little bit smaller.
That would be the smaller the ribbon, the more mids?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, okay. I think so. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
John's cracking up that phone call.
I should have warned you. That caller had been phoning through earlier in the show, and I should have said.
It's all right, man. Fuck, anything you can help out with anyone's problems, I'm here for that. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I'm here. I got a gear issue.
So for famous New Zealand recordings, were these particular...
Oh, man, I feel like they're smattered with it. I mean, Die 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 definitely will be using a good bunch of coals on it. I know a good Tom Healy down there would use it all over the Tiny Ruins records.
But I feel like Die 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 would do vocals into like a 58.
Oh, they do vocals into a 58, right. But these would be all over their drums, okay, and all over, yeah, their guitars for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you want to sound rough and ready on the vocal.
Yeah, totally, totally.
But this would be like definitely a Marlon Williams zone.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Tammy Nielsen kind of vibe, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm, I mean, they're almost on anything. I mean, Ben King from Golden Horse, he religiously uses those. Yeah.
Have you ever broken one?
Yeah, I have. A Phantom Power.
Oh, you did? We were talking about Phantom Power is what you give to condenser microphones, ladies and gentlemen. They require a bit more juice to perform, but not to be confused with a ribbon microphone.
Yeah, so that service that I was mentioning before was the result of me phantom powering it, which is, it sends voltage to the mic, and for a ribbon with its micron thin membrane, 48 volts, just it incinerates, it just turns it to
dust.
Are
they like made of gold?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
So, it's, I mean, it's not worth much.
Gold
it's like
tone.
A 0.2 micron thin piece of gold. But yeah,
how expensive was the repair?
It wasn't too bad. Maybe a few, maybe close to a grand for two. Right. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to dwell on it, John, but it's the only time I've done it, and it's the only time I think
can we just describe the polar pattern of these microphones and what that means as well,
John,
for people?
Me.
Well, I was thinking maybe just talk around. If you just constantly talk around the microphone, it should cancel on its side, and then it should pick up back on the back, because these microphones are both back and front. They work the same, and there's like a figure eight polar pattern, and then, like you said, a little rejection on the sides. So really great for recording and two instruments sort of opposing each other and nothing either side.
There we go, I'm dead on the side now, so you can't even hear that.
That's great.
And I'm back in the
That's
front.
That's trippy. It's a trip.
Yeah.
Fucking trippy.
Yeah, it's pretty fun when you got two of them and you're doing stereo and it sounds like you're going around your head. It's pretty freaky.
Yeah.
But pretty amazing. So great for putting in front of people with live things. If any of you are home recordists out there, get your little ribbon microphone and put it in front of your guitar, but point the middle of it up towards your face so that it rejects your voice, and then, you know, you can have this clean ass guitar recording
technique. Now, just on that, we'll go back to the Albini purist zone, but this is a modern example of somebody loving ribbon microphones.
Oh yeah, you'll hear it. It's a supernatural sounding record, the whole thing. Freedom's Goblin by Ty Segall, but this track, My Lady's on Fire. Yeah, drums, guitar, everything natural as they come, vocals.
Let's get it.
Yeah.
You say you want to cry, but your tears are dry. When I was that way, there's nothing left to say. Nothing left to say. Now my lady's on fire. She wants to tear it down. She knows you're a liar. My lady's on fire. No,
so you didn't get drunk.
Scene.
Yeah.
Back to my raspiness on these normal mics that we normally talk into.
Now, Paddy from Roundhead Studios, we were just chatting off air about the experience of booking a session up at Roundhead and how you as the engineer might help people make decisions about what equipment to use and so forth. How does it
do you
play
look
out?
At someone's face and go, you need this microphone?
Yeah, you do. Well, you kind of almost like, usually you would like listen to someone's voice, like they might be, you know, you're in the studio and you might sing and you'd be like, that's a ribbon sound, you know, it might be there a bit trebly and a bit kind of
right
and a bit bright and and this thing's going to dull it down. But I mean, in terms of like getting gear choices and what you, often people have a sonic or a palette in mind that they kind of want, they would come in and go, I love Ty Segall's Freedom's Goblin record that was produced by Steve Albini, I want to sound like that. And we go, cool, we know that there was ribbons all over that mic, so we're going to put some ribbons up on the drum kit, we're going to make it sound nice and natural. Or they might come in and go, I love Eagles of Death Metal, and it's like, all right, well, that's 57s and U87s everywhere.
Or they might say the Eagles, and then you just, okay, get out. Kind
of. It's a 12 string for your troubles.
I guess if you are recording a band sort of live as well, you probably wouldn't pick a mic like this if it's like a loud band or something like that, perhaps. Yeah,
interesting enough, we're talking about the rejection on the sides. Oh, yeah, yeah. These are
quite handy.
Because you could be over there like thrashing it with like a saxophone or something, and because I'm punishing it on the front here. we had this amazing session actually with Balta Space, and it was quite crazy. They just released some tunes off it, or maybe the whole project.
Yeah,
the other
we got
day.
One on playlist at the moment.
Oh, it's epic. Anyway, so they turned up in the studio, and it was kind of like to Alistair. I was like, well, what do you want? How do you want to do this? And he was like, well, I want the drums here, and I want to set up my guitars right next door. So he's like, meter Johnny away, like half a foot away with this Marshall stack next to the drum kit. And it was like, well, so we put the Coles on the overheads, and because these cymbals and snares and kick drums are all hitting these ribbons straight in the face, you couldn't hear the guitar amps that were on the side
because of that rejection.
Yeah. It was crazy. Sweet. It was kind of like, we were like, oh, you're insane.
Super loud session.
Oh, it was the most loudest session I've ever had. Nick Rowan, I think, produced it, and the volume knob was probably 90% the whole way through.
Were you engineering?
Yeah.
So what's the producer doing?
The producer, Nick Rowan, was sitting there with a happy bottle of Chardonnay telling me whether it was good enough or it was loud enough.
Right.
It was a lot of the time it was turn it up a little bit more.
Okay.
And then, just letting the guys go at it. I mean, they knew what they were doing. It was nuts.
Bold space, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that was probably as close to like Keith Richards' kind of session as I'll ever get, you know?
Yeah.
It was wild.
Sweet.
Good time, yeah.
Sounds like fun.
I also just note that I don't tell Balta Space what to do or how to sound.
Your job is to catch the vibe, right? If a band comes in knowing themselves so well, then it's your job to kind of get out of the way and just record it.
Not to like
a young band, direction from the engineer would be priceless as well.
Yeah, totally. You know? And we cross over into and if you think in the classic record sense, there was a producer sitting at the back and you know, Quincy Jones sitting there while old mate was running the tools. But now, you know, budgets and things are not what they used to be. But also people's knowledge is so much more. So I guess we cross into the realm of producing a lot as well as engineering. So we, you know, people will be coming in and they might have the idea of the guitar sound they want, but we're always there kind of going, well, why don't you try this, why don't you do this, we've got an idea of this, blah 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 blah, and slowly shaping it. Even if we're not employed in that sense as the producer, there's always a element of producer happening in those sessions,
especially
as well.
If you're selecting microphones as well.
Oh, totally. It's gonna sound, totally.
I mean, the ribbon mics are great because I was saying before, you don't, you know, it almost gets rid of having to sort of boost EQ or do things like that, because it's like it just gives you the truth right off the bat.
Totally.
You know? And that's kind of the goal, right? You want to do less in post.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I spent my years studying up at Mainz in their little studios at night, trying to make drum sounds sound
running
good.
Running around frequencies.
Yeah, and like trying to notch things out and room nodes and all this stuff. And I got up to Roundhead on the first session I think I engineered, and it was just like, whoa, this shit is cheating. It was like a nice mic and a nice room with a nice drum kit, and I was like, these people aren't even good. It's just like, you know, it just sounds good already. But then you learn you're good as bad again, and then you improve.
Well, the studio was a tool, isn't it? Fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like we really covered it off. John, you want to say a couple more things into that $3,000 microphone before it goes away, mate? Maybe a sting for BFM or something.
Thank you, Roundhead.
Oh, fuck.
Hey, thank you, BFM.
Tools of the Trade on 95 BFM, thanks to Roundhead Studios.